First of all, I just want to recognize all the parents that are out there. Due to the COVID restrictions that we had, we kind of missed having Mother's Day. So today what we're going to do is we are going to honor that, both mothers and fathers today, for their parenting skills, for their creativity, for their patience, for the Bible says long suffering, and I notice that it's the parents that are laughing, and they know what we're talking about. So we're going to honor them today. So on your way out, you'll see on the table out there, there's some bags out there for their moms. There's some smaller bags out there for the guys. And so we have mom gifts. We have guy gifts out there for any dads here today. So be sure and as you leave today, take one of those with you. And also, I really want to encourage everybody, and I want to invite you to also those that are here that aren't parents, that that you would go ahead and grab a gift on your way out and either share it with your parent, if your parent is still around, or just in honor of your own mother and father. So whoever's here, take a gift and take it home with you. So just for moms and dads, we just want to give them a little hands up there. Also, for the next couple of Sundays, Linda and I, we're going to not be here. We're going to be out of town, but Pastor Dade Ronan will be here sharing his message. A lot of you know who he is. Some of you don't know who he is, but Dade, we had coffee a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to him about this, and he just said, you know, when I told him about this opportunity, he said he was just all in. He says, yeah, because he just loves to teach the Bible, and it's apparent when you come and when you listen to him, it's apparent that he's excited about it. He has a good time about it. And so just so that you know just a little bit more about him, he's a transplant from California, ended up in the Midwest. He attended Calvary Chapel Bible College while he was out there. He's taught at many Calvaries from California over to the Midwest. He's authored a book called Inductive Bible Study. So this guy's got a lot going on up in his brain here. He's created Bible study software for some notable pastors. And so I want to welcome you. Come see him. Tune in and listen to Dade because it's a teaching that you don't want to miss. And so I'm really excited about that. Also, for our local family here, next Sunday is our downtown outreach that we're going to be doing. So what we're going to do, we're just going to have it a little bit different. What we're doing is after next Sunday's message, we'd like to get a crew out there that would come together and help us to assemble some sack lunches to take down to downtown after church. If you can make a sandwich, you qualify for doing this. If you can put chips in a paper bag, you qualify to be able to do this, you know. If you can, you know, help out putting the snacks together, and we're going to make all of these things. We're going to put water in there, and then Bill's going to take them down at the end at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Bill's going to take all these sack lunches downtown, and he'll just pass them out from the back of his vehicle. And what that does, he'll pass them out one at a time. That just helps in the transition of keeping Bill safe. We need to keep Bill around here. And then it also helps in the transition of them also, because we don't want, you know, we don't want everybody handling things. And we just want to be, we're still in the phases of coming out of COVID and going into normalness again. And so we're still just erring on the side of caution. So next Sunday after church, if you can help out, that would just be awesome. So let's go ahead and get started. Once again, I want to welcome everybody here today, both people, everybody that's online today, everybody that's in person today, everybody that's at home today. We want to welcome you. It is a beautiful day in Kansas today, right here in the middle of the Midwest. Today, we are in week 3 of our series that we've been going in called We Are Family. This is a series that we've been going through, We Are Family, and because of the restrictions that everybody's been kind of going through, we're just kind of easing back into church normalness or regular church activity or the gathering of the saints. And so we've kind of come about this, and we talked about it because it's been a while since some of us have been out of church, and we've been home, and we've been watching church online. And so we kind of been asking these questions of why are we doing this? Why do we do this on Sunday mornings? Why are we getting up? Why is it important that we come together as saints, as a body? Why is it important that we do this in the first place? And so at the beginning of the series, we kind of explored the Bible, and we get all of our information from the Bible, and we learned that the church, when we talk about this, the church, occasionally people will say, you know, well, the church, it's down the road, or my church, I go across town, or whatever it might be, but the church is you and I. It's us sitting in this building right now. It's us watching online right now. It's other believers watching right now. And so we have all been adopted into a family. And you know, and we've talked about this for years, is that we see ourselves as a family. And when we're missing part of our family, we're missing part of our family. And the church, it's important to understand that it's not an institution. It's not something that was generated by man and it was like man's idea or anything like that. It's not an organization, but it's a family. And the Bible talks about being adopted into this family. And specifically, what he's talking about is being adopted into God's family. He's got one family, and the church is his family. We are family. And it's not because you happen to attend Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. It's not because you go to church every Sunday. It's not because you belong to this denomination or because you belong to that denomination. It's not because Sister Sledge sang it. We are family because God has invited us in to be a part of his family. We are a part of his family. Therefore, we are all brothers and sisters. And so when I'm talking about that, I'm saying we, I'm saying the church, I'm saying everybody, not just Calvary Chapel. We are all brothers and sisters. It's not by way of color. It's not by way of creed. It's not by way of culture. But it's by way of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. John 14:6 tells us this, and it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we've been grafted in, that's how the way the Bible talks about it. We've been grafted in, we've been adopted by the blood of Jesus into his family. So in this series, as we've been going through it a little bit, we're talking a lot about the church, and we discovered that there are, you know, the benefits of being a church member. The benefits of coming together every Sunday, the benefits of hanging out with like-minded brothers. Because God's plan, listen to this, God's plan is not for us to live in isolation. His whole plan is not for us to be in isolation, but we are in socialization. We're relational. We're relational with Christ. That's how he wants our relationship with him. We're relational with our Heavenly Father. We're relational with the Holy Spirit, and we're relational with each other. And we need to be we're all part of the same body. Every one of us, we're all part of the same body. We all fit together here. We're part of the same purpose of the body. That the body has a purpose, the church has a purpose, and we're all part of that same purpose. We learned that the purpose of the church and the purpose of your life, many times, they run parallel. They're kind of blended, and they should be. They should be blended together, where it's kind of hard to tell where one part is kind of your part, your own personal part, and one part is for the church family. They kind of run together. Your personal life, your spiritual life, they often intermingle with each other. It's hard to tell a difference in them sometimes. We see that in worship, because worship isn't just for a church service. We can do that at home as we meditate, as we come together, as we pray with our brothers and sisters. We can do it in fellowship as we go to a Bible study or we attend a concert or something like that. We can do it in discipleship when we come together as a small group. We can do it in ministry when we go downtown and do the outreach. We can do it in the outreach when we go tell people about Jesus. All of this stuff kind of comes together, and all of us are part of this church, part of this family, and listen to this, part of this purpose of the church. We talked a lot, especially with everything that's going on right now, we talked a lot about how we are different. And I'm talking about each one of us, how we are different. Did you know that God, of all the humans he's created, since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve, there's not two of them just alike? And in this church body, we've got some twins and we've got some triplets in this church body, but it's like there's not two of them that he created just alike. Both color, both culture, both height and width, all of those things, strengths and weaknesses, they're all different. And here's what I say, let's celebrate the differences. Let's quit trying to say that we're all the same. Let's celebrate the differences because we are. God created you the way that he created you. And that's just the way it is. We're all different. And that's what makes us family. You're not like your brother or sister. You don't look like your brother or sister. And so that makes us all family. So what I want to talk about today is what matters most as a family. And you're going to find out it's not color or creed or anything like that, but what matters most as a family. And when I say as a family, I'm saying the church, specifically this church, but all other Christian churches, how we come together. So we want to talk about that. And you know, when we talk about the family, it's not important that like we're all completely, totally like-minded. Because anybody, you ever been in a family that everybody just gets along perfectly? There, any Waltons in here? No. Sometimes there's some issues in families. Sometimes families don't always agree. But hey, they're always family, aren't they? So today what I want to talk about, and we're going to use our Bible for the reference, which is what we always do, but today what I want to talk about is the five core values of the church family. The five core values of the church family. If you're a note taker, you probably want to write these down. And what I do, really, I just encourage you to write them down, and then on the scripture reference, just put the scripture reference right next to it and go back and read it later. Yeah, maybe you're listening online and you've been looking for a church or something. I want to invite you to church, but be sure whatever church that you go to, that you choose a Bible teaching church. Yeah, maybe you're raising a family or starting a new family or something. You're thinking about raising a family. You can apply these same five core principles to your family life. Or you've just become a believer, or you're searching and you're kind of wandering, you know, it's like, I'm just not sure about this whole God thing and everything. You're searching for a purpose, or maybe you're a believer, or a new believer, you've been a believer for a long time, and you say, yeah, I just want to really grow, I just want to get deeper, I want my relationship to Christ to be even deeper. You can apply these values to your life. You can apply these five core values to the life and to your life in your church at home. So let's look at this. Core value number one, write this down if you would. Everybody's welcome. At Calvary Chapel, West Wichita, everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a believer. Everybody's welcome. We ask that you just show up. You don't have to be like us. Everybody's welcome. It's okay if you have tattoos and spiky hair. Everybody's welcome. It's okay if you wear a tie. Everybody's welcome. Jesus said in Mark 11:17, and as he was teaching them, so he's teaching them, the disciples, he's talking to them, and as he's teaching them, he says, is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? For all nations. Church, what does all mean? It means all. It means everybody. It's inclusive. And the Bible, when it's talking about this, when it's using this word nations, it's not talking about like locations. That's not what he's saying. It's like, you know, the church is for this place and that place over there. It's not talking about that. It's translated into ethnicity is what it's talking about. It's like, it could be Gentiles. And Jesus has said, you know, this is the church for everybody. For Gentiles. It could be, they could use the word Jews. It could be Jews. in the Bible, sometimes the word nations, it's translated, it says group of people. And he said this church is for, his church is for this whole group of people. It can even mean heathens. Heathens in church. And it says, yeah, even them. This church, it's for everybody. Everybody's welcome. And when Jesus is talking about this, he's referring back to Isaiah 56:7. And he says, these I will bring. And he's talking about these pagan people back there. And he says, these I will bring into my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. And my house shall be called a house of prayers for all people. And once again, he says, for all people. The translation in this is for all nations. Everybody's welcome. Come on in. This is our family. So core value number two, guess what? Everybody is loved. Everybody's loved. And sometimes that's a pretty big spoonful, but everybody's loved. I have five in my family. I have five children. I come from a family that had five children in it. And I can say this to you with complete conviction, every single one of us, every single one of our kids are completely different. They are none of them the same. They're unique. Every one of those kids and brothers and sisters are unique in their own way. Every one of us has our weak points. Every one of us has our strong points. And every one of them are loved. Equally, differently maybe, but equally, every one of them are loved. So we are not commanded to agree with what everybody else says. We're not commanded even to feed everybody. We're not even commanded to take care of the sick totally. Jesus said, you're always going to have the sick with you. We're not commanded to support everybody. But we are commanded to love everybody. 1 John 4:21, and he said, and this commandment we have from him, that whoever loves God must also love his brother. Well, if we're all family, if we're all children of God, then we're all brothers and sisters. And so the sentiment that he's trying to say in here is that if you love God, you can't not love your brother. You know, you can't do that. I mean, you can't, if you're in God's family and he's your heavenly father and this guy's your brother, you can't love God and say, I love you, God, and everything, but this guy I hate because he's not like me. He's different than me. You can't not love your brother. It's not an option. Or sister, it's not an option. And I know, you know, and some of you, hearing this message, maybe you're going to say this, you say, yeah, but what if like a murderer comes in the church? Not to murder people, but, maybe he's been a murderer, or something like that. Or maybe the guy was a thief, and he really done you wrong. He did bad, and then all of a sudden he's coming in to talk to you, Or maybe he's just a bad man. And we've had some bad men come into this church, and women come into this church. So maybe it's just a bad person. I say, hate the sin, love the sinner. Hate the sin, love the sinner. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and also you are to love one, just as I love you, you also are to love one another. And he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He says, here's how you're going to know that you're a Christian. And for the longest time, I thought when that scripture, for the longest time, I thought this meant, this is how you'll recognize a Christian, because he'll be a really loving person, or she'll be a really loving person. But I think maybe, or at least what it's saying to me today, it says, this is how I will know if I'm a Christian, if I'm a believer, if I'm a follower, is that I will love other people. That I won't be judgmental, that I won't be that way. And Jesus is saying, you know, this is what matters most. He said, this is like the core value. This is what everything hangs on. This is where the hinge is. This is like the foundation of the family, the church that we belong to, is that we love one another. And we know love is an action word. It's not a feeling. It's not like a gooey thing or anything like that. It's an action word. I feed somebody because I love them. I help somebody because I love them. I share with them because I love them. But so in this church, we need to know this, and in the Christian church, and in our lives, and in our family, and everything that surrounds us, everyone is loved. Core value number three, I'll have an extra helping of this. Everybody gets grace. Everybody gets grace. Hey, you know what? Everybody's broken here. Everybody in this room is broken. Got some stuff had, maybe some bad stuff. Some of us are broke more than others, but everybody in here is broken. Calvary Chapel, West Wichita, and many churches that I know of, but Calvary Chapel, West Wichita is a place for second chances. Coming to this church, coming before God is a place for second chances, you know. So guess what? You messed up. Some of you, and I'll raise my hand, don't raise your hands, but some of us messed up bad and did a lot of stuff. But some of us messed up, you know, made some really bad decisions in life, took a bad path that we shouldn't have went down, went on the path of least resistance, because that's the way the whole world was going, and that path was just worn, and it was smooth, and it was easy to go because everybody else was going on there, and we found out that it led to death and destruction, that it led to pain, and led to sorrow. Guess what? We're all broken, and we all messed up. Yeah. Marriage, you know, maybe you're here today, maybe your marriage is in a spiral or something. Maybe your health has gone south and you just don't know why. Maybe your finances are upside down. When they come to the Lord, everybody gets grace. Whatever baggage you're carrying with you, the Lord is going to give you grace. And even believers, that's what I'm, you know, I'm not talking about somebody that comes in off the street. I'm talking about even believers. This is a place of a fresh start. You've heard me say that before, that sometimes you need to be born again, because you didn't embrace it. You didn't hold on to it. You walked away from it last time. So this is a place of fresh start. This is a place that you can start over, the church. Specifically this church, but also the church. Yeah, it's kind of like that Christmas show. We're a bunch of misfits here. We're a bunch of broken people here. And that's okay. The Bible calls us, we're sojourners. We're like travelers. We're like a band of gypsies or something, because this isn't our home. We're just passing through. We're just here for a short time. And while we're here, everybody gets grace because we have the sin nature and we struggle with that. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another. He's saying, be gentle with one another. Whenever you're looking at somebody else, act like you're looking into God's eyes and looking into Jesus' eyes. It says, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving to one another. It says, as God in Christ forgave you, be the same way. Well, maybe that person had a bad, you know, well, I wonder what they meant by that, you know. Is that my outfit? Is that my clothes? Or is that what car I drive or whatever? Maybe they didn't mean anything. Maybe they just had a bad day that day. Be kind to them. Be forgiving. This is a second chance for a place of grace here. And what that means is that, you know, we understand as we come into this room, as we meet other Christians and brothers and sisters, it means that we're all broken. We all have a little bit of damage. We all have a little bit of pain and hurt in us. We all have hurts and hang-ups. That's just the truth about it. So Colossians 3:12, it says, when we do that, when we come into church, when we see other brothers and sisters, when we go into the grocery store, when we go into the hardware store, it says, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He says, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And I think what's interesting about that is that it, apparently that's not second nature to us. So he says, put this on. You're going out in the world, get dressed up. You're one of my holy one. You're one of my chosen one. Guess what? You're one of my representatives. Dress like it. Act like it. He says, put this stuff on. Be compassionate. Be gentle. Be caring about other people. Give grace. Everybody gets grace. Core value number four is everyone is in ministry. Every single person in this room, every single person that accepted Jesus Christ as a believer is in ministry. This church, this building, this bunch of believers here, this church has a purpose, has a destination. This ship we're in, it's going somewhere. We're on it. We're not all going in a different place. We all might have different responsibilities, but this church is going somewhere. We all have an opportunity to share our gifts, but I think, listen to this, I think we all have a responsibility to share our gifts. James 1:22, and it tells us, and you know where I'm going, he says, but be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourself. So what that's saying there, if you read your Bible and if you study your Bible and you get them words and you understand that, or maybe you listen to somebody preach and they said something, you know, we're saying something that kind of resonated with you and you're like, amen, brother, to preach it. Go on, I know what you're talking about. Or you know, or if you read a teaching or something like that and you don't do what you're just agreeing to do, you don't believe it then. I mean, you could say you could believe it. You can say, right on, preacher. You can say, yeah, me too. But if you don't do it, you don't believe it. You might think that. You might think you believe it, but you're not growing. The Bible isn't a book of advice that you can read it and say, hey, here's some good advice for you. The Bible's a book of action. Here's your instructions. Yes. The Bible, it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Doesn't really stand for that, but that's a good way to look at it. It's an instruction book. You have to respond to what you read. You can't just ingest the information. You have to respond to what you read. It would be silly. You wouldn't read a mechanics book, or you wouldn't read a diet book or anything, and then don't change any way that your eating habits in any way. That wouldn't help your health wouldn't change at all. The Word of God is the same thing. It's a word of action that you read it. It's not all about information. It requires involvement too. You read it and you respond to it. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. For myself, I had to break this down into little bite-sized pieces. So let me read this again to you. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man may be complete and equipped for every good work. So what the Bible does when we read this, when we take scripture, when we understand it, it breaks it down and it shows you, one, the path that you're walking on. So it's profitable for teaching. When we read it, it's like, oh, I see what's going on. It's profitable for teaching. It shows you where to get off the path. That's reproof. It's like it might be rebuking. It's like, okay, I'm wandering off the path. I need to get back on it just a little bit. And it shows you how to get back on the path. That's correction. That's what the Bible's for. We're meant to respond and react to it. And so that's when we do that, that's called correction. So you might be teaching a friend or something like that. You might be correcting a child or something like that. You might be encouraging a brother and sister in Christ. You might be serving on the mowing crew or something, or the cleaning crew. But the Bible says to do these things, to understand these things so that you'll be equipped, and just that means prepared for every good work, whatever it is that we're doing. And so in James, it says we are to be doers of the word. What it says in the Bible, if you don't do it and you don't believe it then. If you read it and you say, God, that's really, I should be doing that. That's really important, but you don't do it. Do you think it's important? If you read something and you say, this is necessary, this is what I should be doing as a believer, and you don't do it, do you really think that you believe that? So it needs to be a change of attitude and also a change of action. The change of attitude is, yes, I agree what the Bible is saying. The change of action is, yes, and I will continue to do this, or I will stop doing this, or I will go there, or I will do whatever it's saying. So God wants you to be a doer. Matthew 28:20, it says, teach these new disciples to obey all that the commandments I have given you. Jesus is saying, teach them to do it. Don't teach them about it. Teach them to do it. Teach them to follow up with action on there. It says, it's not merely a point of information for us. It's a point of transformation, that we would obey this, that we would do these. We are to do these things. Everyone is in ministry. So core value number 5, everyone needs everyone. This thing really resonated with me. Everyone needs everyone. Guess what? We need each other. We need you. I need you. You guys need me. We need the musicians. Everybody needs everybody in this building. We all need each other. When you come in here, guess what? The pastor's not the church. Without you, there's no church here. The pastor's not the church. The worship team, they're not the church. The cleaning the grounds people, they're not the church. Hospitality person, they're not the church. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body. All of us together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So what he's saying, all of us together, all of you in church, what does all mean? It means all. Everyone needs everyone. You know, it takes all of us to make the body of Christ. It's just like you know how when maybe you've been home and you've been isolated and you're working on a jigsaw puzzle and you're doing all of this stuff. And so you put it together and you get to the very end of it and it's like, dang it. You know what's going on? There's a piece missing. And you can recognize what piece it is, but there's a piece missing right at the end of it. Without that piece, that puzzle will never be complete. Without you in this church body will never be complete. So let me read this. And this is the last verse, and we're going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 12:21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, and I have no need for you. In fact, it says in verse 22, it says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. He says, verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Listen, there's no unimportant people in this church. Everybody matters. And I can even go so far as to say, everybody is necessary, everybody is needed. And every person in here is a minister. They're a minister to the Word of God. And every person here today, every person hearing this message that belongs to a church or don't belong to a church, is invaluable. It's just like, I'm a little geeky at home sometimes. I like technology a lot. And so, when you come into my house, when you walk into the front door, if you have your arms full and all this, it's the light has a sensor, and that light comes on automatically. And then after you go do whatever it is about you're about to do, then the light goes off automatically, and I think that's pretty awesome. That's a lot of fun. Also, if you go into the utility room, and you walk in the utility room, guess what? Light comes on, do your business in there, whatever you got to do. I've never been in that room. And then the light goes back off. It's just like automatically. And you would think in there, you know, of course, that's not the most important light in the house, but you would think as you go around that, you know, when I go into the pantry, you open up the pantry, light comes on. Cool, get your stuff out of there, light goes off. I think the same thing works for the refrigerator. I haven't got that one figured out. Open, close, you know. But I think it's the same way that it works in there. But, you know, of all those lights and everything that we have in our whole house and everything, none of those are the most important light in the house. The one that's the most important light in the house is that little bitty night light that we have on at night that just shines out of the bathroom into the hallway just a little bit. And it's the weakest of them all. It's not bright at all. In fact, you can't even hardly tell it's on during the day, but it's the weakest of them all. Keeps me from stepping on the dog, for one thing. You know, it makes me aware of where I am because I can see the light. And I can go towards the light because I know that's a safe spot. It guides me to where I'm going. And so sometimes it seems like the weakest things in a part of a church are not that important, but the Bible tells us that they're the most important. And so as we go through life, we need to think about that. We need to look at that. That's how Christ looks at each one of us. Not as his whole church, not as a big group, but he looks at us as one individual. He looks at us as one little light. And he's called us to be a light. He's called us out into the world to shine. And I know there's some people out there and they're shining, and man, they're bright, and they're shining all over the place, and everybody sees them, and they're bright, and they're seen throughout the whole world and everything. And then there's some of us, and probably for the most part, most of us, that we seem a little bit weak, you know, we're just kind of illuminating things unto the next step. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's exactly where Jesus has called you to shine. That's exactly where he's called you to show your light. So my encouragement to you today is wherever you are, just let the light shine. Let his light that is within you shine out for others to see. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. And we know, Lord, that light, that fire, whatever is inside of us that is you. So often, Lord, we keep it under a basket or we keep it hidden. So we pray that you would help us, Lord, in this times of issues that we're going through, in this difficult time that we're going through today, that you would help us to let it shine. That we would go out into the world, that we would see others as our brothers and sisters, that we would give them grace, that we would give them mercy, Lord, that we would give them forgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that the same for us, that they would give us forgiveness, that they would show us grace. So we ask, Lord, we want to pray also for those that are maybe sick with the virus, Lord, that you would just help heal them. We pray, Lord, for those that are healthy, that you would keep them healthy, Lord. And we pray as a church, Lord, that you would help us just reach out into the world and be the change that this world needs. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.